name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, my name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back to the podcast. I almost was waiting for you to start, but welcome back to the podcast. It's been another month in the year of 2021. We're back with no guest this week.
Old school.
But we do have an announcement, and that announcement is if you pay us $15 over once or over the course of the podcast, we'll podcast about anything you want us to. Anything. Anything.
Anything?
Anything. Within limits.
Within reason.
like we have ultimate veto power, but we are pretty open. We do swear on this podcast, so it's, you know, it's pretty wild.
It's a wild world out here on Martha and Colby Grow Up.
You can find those links in the episode description.
I like how I point it down like it's going to be recorded, this is not a YouTube video show. In the duplicate.
Remember that one time when we tried to do a live YouTube episode? That was like actually kind of fun, but
that was fun.
No one watched.
I'd like to do that at some point though.
Yeah, we should. We should. Well, I'm actually going to start at some point when I have more time in my life, probably in the winter, like a Twitch show on YouTube where I like invite you to either make a drink or like a non-alcoholic cocktail or just like drink water and just like talk with me, like kind of like a podcast, but just like catch up on your day or like what's up in your life, like just very low-key friend chat. Like it doesn't have to be anything big.
Can that make a drink just be tequila with a couple ice cubes? Does that count as
absolutely drink? Absolutely. I mean, awesome. We don't have to get fancy. You can be as fancy as you want. Because I don't want to like make it alcohol specific, because I do have friends who don't drink who would want to be on this show. Also, you don't have to show your face either, so if you don't want to. But I mean, who knows how many people are going to watch it. So maybe millions.
Exactly.
What are we talking about this month on the pod?
Well, before we introduce it, we have a question of the week of the month.
Oh, yeah.
To get to.
My bad, we do.
So I'll ask you that instead. Okay, and you can perfect. Introduce
Let's
topic.
Do that.
So, what is your favorite regional chain? Put it that way. I think that's better than how I said it earlier.
Yes. So, favorite regional chain. Great question. Well, my go-to all time is Taco Bell. As if you know me, you probably know me that well. I'm also
is that region the United States.
No, but I'm just prefacing. Chain? I'm just prefacing. I'm a big fan of the car taco. Lately, I've on my lunch breaks, I'll go to Taco Bell. I'll drive up to this spot where there's four Pokestops, and I'll just play a little bit, go back to work. For legal reasons, that's a joke. And no, but fast.
Are you committing wage theft, Martha?
No, I only take an hour. I don't go longer than that. That would be. I'm not like sitting for 2 hours playing Pokemon Go during my work day.
By the way, wage theft by employees is a lie. Get what you're worth.
But hey, that's conversation for another time. But
this is not the Dismantling Capitalism podcast.
Yeah. My favorite regional chain is actually Culver's, which you probably don't have.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew you were going to say Culver's.
Because it's like the only one I can think of that's like regional. Like we don't have that many regional fast food chains. So Culver's is known for their Butterburger. To be honest, I just get the old fashioned grilled cheese and fries, and it comes with a custard if you get the kids meal. It's an excellent deal. It's like under $6 for a drink, fries, grilled cheese, and a scoop of ice cream. It can't be beat. I don't go there that often because I don't like the fries that much. So, but that's my answer. What about you?
Do they have Skyline up where you are, or is that more Ohio, Michigan?
I've never heard of that.
Gotcha. Anyway, don't worry about it. It's not important. Just piss off everybody who's from the Ohio Valley region. Okay.
Is that your answer or no?
No. Oh. We don't have Skyline here. We do have it. There is a Culver's in Charlotte.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like South Charlotte, right near the border of South Carolina and North Carolina, like right outside of Carowinds, which is an amusement park down here. But my answer, can I have two? Is that okay if I have two?
Yes.
So number one is going to be Cookout, which is growing. It used to only be in North Carolina, but I think they have some in Atlanta. They might have some in Florida now, definitely South Carolina and Tennessee. But Cookout is a burgers, hot dogs, sort of fast food. In my opinion, an authentic Cookout does not have indoor seating.
Hmm.
It is only drive-through or walk-up, and there are black tinted windows, so you cannot see inside. That is an authentic Cookout. And their menu is ridiculous. And ridiculous because it is huge and also so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for $6, I could get, and this is my Cookout order, a double cheeseburger with bacon, or a double hamburger with cheese, bacon, mayo, and pickles, with a side of Cajun fries, also another side of a Cajun chicken wrap, and a huge sweet tea or a huge cheerwine, or a milkshake, depending on how I'm feeling. All of that for about $6.
That's pretty good.
It's really good.
I feel like I would eat that way too often. Like, I already eat Taco Bell way too often. I was like, man, Martha, you really got to cut down on this. Like, it's kind of getting out of hand. So
I'm doing well. We live like a mile and a half from a Cookout, and we don't go that often. And I'm very proud that we don't.
I mean, I go like once a week. Is that bad? Like,
no, that's fine.
I feel like that's fine.
Especially if it's like a work thing. There's only when you're like working and like going out to lunch, you go to like three places. So,
well, it's like, and when I get there, I'm like really boring and I only get two soft tacos and a Mountain Dew. I'm not getting like five cheesy gordita crunches and smashing them in 30 minutes. No shame if you do, but that's just what I get. So I try to keep it like on the healthier end. I don't know, but
my other one is Biscuitville. Biscuitville is a breakfast fast food chain that is even more regional. There might be one in Myrtle Beach, but I've literally only seen them in like the stretch of 85 from Durham to Charlotte. Durham to Charlotte. It is exactly what it sounds like. Biscuit breakfast sandwiches. And it's incredible. I love it. It's also super cheap. It's only open from 6 to 2, so you gotta get there while it's open.
Dang.
Shout out to Biscuitville. I love Biscuitville. Please sponsor this podcast.
I want food. I haven't had dinner yet.
I applied for a job at Biscuitville. They didn't give it to me. Like the Biscuitville corporate.
That's cool. We're not talking about food. We're talking about music this week.
Good segue. Good segue.
We were talking about music this week, and we were going to start all the way from when we were kids. Like, what was our music experience? And I guess, you know, what were we exposed to back then all the way until now? What are we currently listening to? So, Colby, do you want to kick it off and start the convo?
Sure. It's almost like we are talking about growing up, me, Colby, and you, Martha, growing up anyway.
I'm not even drinking wine tonight. This is all water. Right? Just letting you know.
This is pure water. This is the effect of a Wednesday. That's what's happening.
It's been a long day.
It has been a very long day. So yeah, how we first kind of arrived to music. But first, do you like remember what like your parents used to play when you were kids? Or when you were kids? You're one person when you were a kid.
This is actually really, really cute, but when I was a kid, my dad used to do this summer of music thing, and he would pick one artist, and we would listen to that artist, like, all their discography the whole summer. It was, like, Willie Nelson. One summer, I don't really remember that one because I was like, ew, country, because I was a brat. Green Day, Coldplay, LOL, white people music. And it was just like kind of fun to like hear these, you know, bands that my dad really liked. And, you know, it kind of came full circle a few years ago when we went to a Coldplay concert together, which was super fun. It was like pretty nerdy, but I don't know. I still had a really good time. So those were, you know, we had a bunch of CDs. We didn't have a record player or anything, but, you know, typical white dad music, I would say.
So for me, the music that I remember listening to is like 90s, early 2000s R&B. So when I feel like I talk about this every time I come on this podcast, this is mine. It has my name on it. Every time I do this podcast, I feel like I talk about my elementary school when I was a kid. But because it was a magnet school and it wasn't our neighborhood school, it would have been like a 45 to an hour long bus ride for me to get to school. So my mom took me to school most days, and it was on her way to work. So we would listen to the Tom Joyner Morning Show every day on the way to school. And what they would play in like the lead-ins was like 90s and 2000s R&B, like a lot of Brandy, some Genuine, Usher, Aaliyah. Like that's what my earliest music, and I didn't know who it was at the time. I was just sitting in my car listening to Tom Joyner tell jokes. But that was my earliest me coming to music.
Did you play any instruments as a kid, or were you kind of, well, I mean, I know the answer to this. I'm just asking the question for the rest of the people, but, you know, how involved were you with music from a young age?
At a young age, I wasn't super involved with music. So, and I think that's mostly probably because of my mom. My dad had a pretty strong like music catalog in the study at the house and in the little disc changer in that 98.4 Explorer. But, and I still make fun of my mom about this to this day.
Oh my gosh, we also had a Ford Explorer. I just have to tell you, that's funny. It was like the solid car. Yeah.
Solid car. But my mom like doesn't listen to music. She just doesn't. Like if she had it her way, she would listen to like Whitney Houston's greatest hits on repeat. We're going to come back to that later in the podcast, I think. But yeah, that's literally all she listened to. So as far as finding my taste in music and like finding what I liked in music, and we'll get to the instruments thing in a second and like playing music, it wasn't like, oh, you got to sit down and listen to like Stevie Wonder, or you got to sit down and listen to the Beatles. Like, no, it was just like whatever music I came upon myself, that's what I was interested in. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I ever heard music, like popular music, and I was like, oh, I want to hear more of that, was the album Confessions by Usher. That was the first time I was like, oh, this is music and good. I think I like Usher. And that's literally like the first time like I remember liking an artist was Usher. And that very good breakup album is still a very good album, I believe.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember the first artist that I really liked. I mean, so I started playing violin in third grade, and it's kind of a funny story. I actually had to write my parents a letter explaining why I was committed to playing a musical instrument, because I think they really wanted me to play sports, and I don't think music was like part of their plan. I ended up being a huge nerd, so with asthma, like jokes on them, like there's no way I could have done sports. And so, I wish I still had the letter. It was like, I typed it up and like, you know, made it look nice, picked a pretty font and like printed it out being like, wait, like, yes, I will practice 2 times a week. Like, yes, I will do this. And
2 times a week.
Oh, I didn't practice at all. But sometimes I did. Like when we had a concert coming up, I did actually practice. And later when I did lessons too, later in life. But so like that was a big thing. For me, like I was exposed to classical music at a pretty young age. But then later on in life, or like, you know, just a few years later, I got really into like pop punk, Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, That sort of thing. So I don't know. My musical tastes really varied, and they still really do today, sort of depending on, you know, my mood or what's going on in my life. Like, do I need to chill out? Do I need to be angry? Am I like going to a certain concert that I need to like refresh the, you know, my memory? I don't know. It just, it really depends. But yeah, I definitely started off more of like, you know, I was like classically trained. I hate that term, but yeah, I played violin for like a really long time.
You definitely started playing instruments before I did. I didn't start playing instruments until middle school. It's actually the reason I went to the middle school I did, because my parents very, very much wanted me to go to a magnet middle school. But just like my magnet elementary school, but it was like a science and math school. But it was, one, far from home, and I kind of wanted to go to my neighborhood school because I didn't know anybody who lived near me. And I also wanted to be in band for some reason. I think I saw, like, a picture of Dizzy Gillespie. And for those of you who've, like, never seen a picture of Dizzy Gillespie plays, it's very striking pictures every time you see him. He has his cheeks that blow up every time that he plays. And he has a trumpet, and I think the legend has it that he dropped his trumpet and it like bent at like a 30, 45 degree angle. It's super cool looking. And I was like, I want to be like Dizzy Gillespie. Nowadays, I actually don't like Dizzy Gillespie's music that much. we could talk about that in the college years. But I was like, I really want to be in band. So I went to this middle school. Shout out to Southeast Guilford. And Mr. Walton, who was a great band teacher for me, we did the thing where in like every like middle school, every kid who was in middle school band knows what I'm talking about, where they take you around to like all the instruments and like see what you're like naturally good at. And I tried playing trumpet. He was like, oh, you can make a sound on it. You can do that. And I started playing trumpet, and I still have that trumpet here. My parents rented that trumpet from the music store because they thought I was going to quit at some point.
Oh, we definitely did the rental. That was always the fun part. I feel like I was like, yes, I love renting. Like, I don't know why. And then we eventually bought one, but still have it.
We eventually bought the instrument because my mom was like, you're not going to quit, are you? I was like, no, like this is what I'm going to do. So I stuck with the trumpet. But as far as what I was listening to in middle school, that's when my knowledge of music started to explode. That's when I got really into like Kanye. And I think towards the end, like Drake was starting to come out and all of my friends were super into Paramore. So I was listening to that. And that's when I like finally learned about like that pop punk, which was super popular in like the late 2000s. Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, all the ones that you mentioned. If we want to start trading deep cuts, Cobra Starship.
Oh, Cobra Starship.
This is my favorite game. Just
Gym Class Heroes. They made a comeback.
Gym Class Heroes.
I just had a new single, like remix, come out. I see it on like the teen party playlist on Spotify.
I was embarrassingly a fan of Gym Class Heroes. Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. From First to Last, All Time Low, like all of those.
Oh man. Good Charlotte. Remember when they were on iCarly?
No. Oh, I didn't watch iCarly, but
oh yeah, you weren't a Nickelodeon kid.
Yeah, I know. We've discussed this several times. So you wrote in your notes, you know, the first time you ever remembered being interested in popular music, and I'm interested in that. But what's a time you remember being interested in something no one else was? And you were like, oh man, like, ooh, I discovered this first. Or did you ever have any of those moments?
Interesting. So I think that the first one is definitely like that Usher CD, that Usher album Confessions. I think that's the first one. As far as discovering someone before everyone else had, I feel like a couple of them are just like YouTube people who I had been following for a while, and then like they get like a big number one, or not like a number one single, but a single that charts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I know that voice. But the one that I remember being on before everyone else probably Anderson .Paak.
Mm, that's a good one.
Yeah, he was. I saw him in concert again, something we'll talk about later. He was incredible. But I kind of want to save that story. So how about you?
Okay, so I had an ex that was like super into music. So one of them was Julian Baker, who is like the same, I guess, genre as Phoebe Bridgers. Very like everyone's into her now. She's dating Paul Mescal from Normal People. Like everyone like tweets Phoebe Bridgers lyrics, like they're obsessed with her. And I've seen them both, I think, like several years ago. So that, and I can't even credit that to me. Like it was just, you know, something my ex-boyfriend like took me to. And then the other one is, and I don't necessarily count this, but a lot of people were very reluctant to listen to Harry Styles' solo albums.
Interesting.
Like people in my immediate circle, I wouldn't say the larger majority of the world did not share this opinion, but a lot of people were like, oh, but you know, he was in One Direction. Like One Direction, it was, you know, a boy band. Like, I'm too old for that. I'm like, first of all, no. Like, listen to this. This music is good. He knows what he's doing. This is absolutely not One Direction. So I did a fair amount of convincing. Like, I feel like people are ashamed to like that sort of music and ashamed to like that sort of poppy music. But I don't know. You never should feel bad.
Yeah.
It's good music.
I like Harry Styles, definitely from like the post One Direction of all of those solo careers. Harry Styles is definitely my favorite. I was never Zayn's solo stuff is
that's fine.
He was bigger than Harry Styles for. I'm not sure if he still is. I feel like Harry Styles is definitely.
Oh, he no, not a chance. He's not bigger anymore.
Really?
I don't even think he ever was. Like, because he was big because he was the first one to go off solo. But yeah, not really.
At least in my head, Harry Styles is bigger now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about playing music and what that was like for you. What was that process of learning how to play violin? And do you play anything else?
I used to play baritone in fifth and sixth grade. I don't play that anymore. And I don't play violin anymore, actually. But I loved it. I loved learning how to play violin. I loved concerts. Reading music was really interesting to me. I'd kind of learned how to play piano before, so I knew how to do that, but I didn't really like know much of theory or anything. I just like knew how to read the notes, and I knew like, you know, where my fingers went on the stem of the violin. That's probably not the right words. I don't remember anymore, but it was great. It was so fun. Like, I loved orchestra class. I wasn't always the best person. In fact, I probably never was the best person, but I think I'd gotten to the music a lot, and, you know, it helped that we played good songs. And every year in high school, we had a Pops concert. So we played fun stuff. Like, we played Pirates of the Caribbean. We played, I mean, that's literally the only one I can think of, but we would play like movie soundtracks and stuff like that. And that was always just super fun. And yeah, I don't know. I never was the best one. I took lessons, and I like maybe wanted to do it in college, but I just like never had the time to do so, or like would not have the ability to practice. So I didn't, and I haven't played in many years. And I actually found my violin at my mom's house, and I lost the shoulder rest for it. No idea where that went. So missing a part, can't play it right now. But yeah, it was really fun. I still have like weird recurring dreams of like me being in high school orchestra class, and I come back as an alumni to like play along, or like I forget my locker combo for my violin locker. It's very weird somehow that those dreams still pop up.
So for me, like I said, started on trumpet in sixth grade. Halfway through seventh grade, they needed someone to play baritone / euphonium. For those of you who don't know, a baritone or a euphonium, they're different instruments, but for all intents and purposes, for y'all listening, they're the same instrument. They look like a mini concert tuba, and they have pretty much the same range as a trombone, but they're valved instead of having a slide. And they needed baritones to play, And my band director said, hey, Colby, you should do that. Do you want to do that? And I was like, I guess. And then I played baritone for the next 10 years of my life. So I picked that up and I like dabbled in jazz bands, still playing trumpet. But in high school, I got to marching band. And that was just my entire jam. Have you ever heard of Martha Drum Corps International?
Yes, I have.
Drum Corps is like the best of the best marchers and players in really the world, mostly North America, but they do have some corps over in different countries. Just other countries don't do marching bands the way that we do. Or corps, whatever you want to call them. And I went to this drum corps show, and it was some of the best music, live music period I've ever heard in my entire life. And I was like, that's something I want to do for a very long time. So I just kind of stuck with marching band through high school and college. What helped is when I was growing up, before I even got to middle school, I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, home of North Carolina A&T State University, an HBCU, the largest HBCU in the country, and home of the Blue and Gold Marching Machine. If you have seen the movie Drumline,
it's one of my faves.
Drumline is based on A&T's marching band, the same Blue and Gold.
I love Drumline.
Drumline is a great movie, real good movie. So that's where I grew up. I grew up going to those football games where the team was terrible, like 0-11 every year. You go for the band, you go for the experience. So I don't know if I was ever going to not do marching band. But yeah, I really liked the concerts that we played. Did y'all do like all county? Was that like all county orchestra, all district?
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Did you ever do it?
Yeah, I did, but I was like not good at it. I was like last chair.
I made all county. I did not make all district because I didn't practice for that audition. And it was really hard. What was interesting is that for the baritone auditions, they gave us trumpet music, which you can play trumpet music on baritone, but if you are in kind of like a high school band, you're not really seeing that sort of challenge for baritone players. So I just wasn't used to playing that music at all, and that audition went terribly. Also, did y'all have anything? So we had something called music performance assessment, and this is for concert band, wind ensembles, whatever, I guess for orchestra for y'all, where you would go to like this school and play for a panel of judges, and the judges would give the ensemble a score.
Yes. Yep, we did have that. Now, that does sound familiar.
So we did that for my first three years, just like as there was one school, one band. Finally, maybe junior year, he split the band into concert band, which is the lower level, and wind ensemble, which is the higher level. And the music difficulty jumped up, which also meant that the music fun jumped up, where we got to play some really cool pieces.
Hell yeah.
But going into our senior year, there were no tubas in wind ensemble. So band director is like passing out the music, passing out scales for all county auditions. So he gets to the band director, and I'll never forget this. He looks at me, he smiles, and he puts the music on my stand, and it's tuba music.
Oh, did you have to transpose?
So here's the thing with baritone. When you play baritone, you either come from trombone most of the time, or you come from trumpet. If you come from trumpet, they normally put your music in treble clef. If you come from trombone, they put it in bass clef. Since I came from trumpet, they always put my music in treble clef. So I had to learn bass clef over the course of 2 weeks to play in wind ensemble, which, like I said, is not easy music. We weren't playing like the master's list or anything, but we were playing like the level right below the master's list.
Yeah.
For MPA. So that was a challenge, but I actually really liked playing tuba. I never thought I would, but it was actually pretty fun. And I was the principal chair, so that was exciting. First chair in the band. I didn't go to all county or all district or anything because I would have gotten wiped there. There's no way they would have let me in. But I didn't make all county on Baritone.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We just signed up. It wasn't wasn't wild or anything.
Oh yeah, we had auditions.
Okay.
For all county and all district. Not every county does, but Guilford County has 16 high schools. So they need a way to get actually good music out of it. So I had to audition for all county.
So I know we've probably talked about this, so I don't know if we need to talk more about it, but do you want to talk about marching band or no? Because I feel like...
Do you have any questions about it? I love talking about marching band.
Was it hard to learn how to step?
So I actually don't know if like rhythm is something learned or if it's like life experience that helps you with rhythm. I think I naturally, and I actually attribute this to church, the Black church specifically, I have a pretty good sense of rhythm. So getting my feet and my heels in time wasn't really ever a problem for me. What you have to learn is how to play music and not hear the steps in the music, meaning just like a straight tone and not your tone going like this because you're taking a step every time. That's the hard part of learning how to...
I didn't even think about that, actually. Yeah. I would be bad at that.
Yeah, that's really the hard part. Like, you'll learn how to, like, go forward and backward and sideways and, like, how to, like, contort your body so that you're, like, playing towards... This is core style, by the way. Contorting your body so you can, like, still get full breath support but project towards an audience. It's really getting the steps out of the sound that's troubling for a lot of people.
Were you just like in the best shape of your life then?
So no, actually my first year of high school, it was before I hit puberty. So I was just like a little chunky kid, trying to keep up with everyone else. And it was actually kind of a disaster. My band director thought I was going to quit band. He didn't think I was going to make it. Through my first year, but I did. I persevered. Apparently, he still tells the story to this day. He talks about me, which is cool. Like, he's a really cool band director.
You're a legend.
I'm glad we had that sort of relationship. But after I hit puberty and I grew 6 inches, and what happens with boys and men and testosterone having people is all of a sudden you hit puberty and you get athletic out of nowhere without trying.
God, I wish that was the case. Jeez.
Which was actually really nice. It was around the time where I started taking basketball slightly more seriously. And before I hit puberty and I was like still in high school, I was like having trouble getting up and down the court. Next year I come back and I am faster than people and I am like jumping higher than people, and it was out of nowhere and it was actually a lot of fun for once. But probably the best shape in my life was probably during college marching band season, and also having to like walk to class. And the other day Carla and I were actually looking and we realized why we were in such good shape in college is because of how much we were walking. Because there is no other way to get around campus but to walk. So I think the combination of those two was probably added to the best shape of my life.
No, that makes sense.
But college marching band is a totally different beast. At least it was for me than high school.
What was your favorite song you ever played in marching band?
Does pep band also count?
Yes.
Let's see. Favorite song. So sophomore year, halftime. So sophomore year of college, we played against A&T, North Carolina A&T. It was the first time UNC had ever played against an HBCU. And HBCUs in general have that very strong marching band tradition, but A&T's marching tradition is incredible. So we said, let's do a marching show together. So what happened was, and it's on YouTube, it has like thousands and thousands of views. We played our show, A&T played their show, and then at the end, we did a mini show together.
This is the plot of Drumline.
It was really fun. I love when A&T goes to PWIs to play because they pull out their PWI music. They dust it off because they never play it anywhere else besides when they go to those schools. But they played the Katy Perry show. And the last The last song was Dark Horse. And we kept it in our repertoire during for that like entire year. It was the most fun I've ever had on a marching field before. So, yeah, the answer for some reason is Dark Horse by Katy Perry.
You know, I don't know if I have there. I have two answers and you probably don't know the song, but it was Danse Bacchanal by Camille Saint-Saëns and Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack, obviously.
John Williams writes good stuff.
Fucking love that.
So, concerts.
Concerts. Let's talk about them. What was your first?
My first concert was that Anderson .Paak concert. Or it wasn't an Anderson .Paak concert, actually. It was a Watsky concert.
Oh, we've talked about... This was a question of the week of the month.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a that's probably the person that I knew that like kind of got big for a little bit and probably not as big as he was a couple of years ago. But that concert, it opened with Anderson .Paak. I guess the midliner, if you want to call it that, was Kyle. Super duper, I think formerly Super Duper Kyle. I don't think he goes by that anymore. I think he's just Kyle. And then Watsky. And it was super fun. That was my first one. What about you? That was in college.
Fall Out Boy. Sixth grade with my...
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I was really young. I do not know why my parents let me do that. I feel like that wasn't even that young, though. Like, I feel like the average age was probably 14 at that show. Like, everyone was super young.
I believe it. I believe it. But the thing is, I bet if you went to a Fall Out Boy show today, everyone would be your age.
Yes. So I actually went to Panic at the Disco like a few, I don't know, probably like 2018 maybe. And that was the case. I was like...
Was it Death of the Bachelor? Was that the tour?
Yeah, it was Death of the Bachelor tour. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, we did all kind of grow up. It was like...
We just all got older.
Well, it was like, it was that, but it was also still that like high school demographic. Like all these girls passed out like little hearts that you put over your phone light to like, you know, make the light different colors when you played a certain song. And I was like, oh, this is cute. Like I probably would have done this when I was their age. And that's how I realized I was old. But
what about the best concert?
God, I've been to so many. That's a really, really hard question.
I haven't, so I can give you mine.
Okay, yeah, you go first. I think I have like four, so.
My favorite one was the Chance the Rapper Coloring Book Tour. It's right when he dropped Chance 3, me and my then girlfriend, now fiance.
Oh.
It was our first concert together. Had we just started dating? Maybe. Or maybe it was a year in. Whatever year Coloring Book came out. And the concert was like more of like a show than just like a dude on stage singing music. Like he had props and skits and it was super fun. And I had a really good time. It was at the Red Hat Amphitheater in Raleigh. Had a good, really good time.
That does sound fun. I think one of my favorites was the Eau Claire Music Festival. It was this band called Francis and the Lights and Chance.
Oh, I love Francis.
Oh, yeah. Francis and the Lights is great.
And Carla loves Francis and the
Lights. Oh, really? That's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper came out for a surprise appearance.
Those are his dudes.
Yeah, those are his dudes. And he came out for a surprise appearance. And I knew it because my friend was working kind of like backstage. And he was like, Martha, get up there early. So like we got up there early. We missed kind of one of the bigger headliners. I think it was the National. And so we were like waiting there. And just
that's a good concert. I feel like that's the vibes. The National leading into Francis and the Lights.
It was real. I think I saw a video. I'll look at a video and I'll text it to you. It's probably not very good quality, but
I don't personally love the National, but I can see why people would want to go see those two bands.
Yeah. And I mean, like Beyonce was always pretty cool. I saw her twice. And then Panic at the Disco was a pretty fun show. And then also I was super, super sick for this concert. Like I was very ill. Like I probably should not have gone. Like if I, you know, knowing now what we know about COVID and infectious diseases, I should have stayed home. But it was Disclosure. And it was just like really fun. And like I was just kind of sitting there because I was like dying of a cold, but I loved it. I had a really good time at that one too. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of them I like. Why do you not like concerts, Colby?
I'm going to tell you first, it doesn't make any logical sense because I don't love them because I feel like they're always super crowded. And it's just very stressful to me for some reason. This being the person, me, who also has season tickets to Carolina football, where it's packed 50,000 person stadium every like 6 or 7 Saturdays out of the year. Something about concerts is just very stressful to me. I also don't like not knowing the entire discography. So I feel like I'm a poser there because I don't know all the words to the songs.
I feel that way too sometimes. I totally get that.
And also, I don't like standing. I want to sit down and everyone's standing in front of you. And I don't want to have to stand for 2 hours. I don't want to do that. That's not fun for me.
No, it's not fun for me either. I'm totally a sitting person now. Melissa, who was a guest on the podcast in December, invited me to a concert with her in September. I love you, Melissa, but I'm low-key really scared to go with you, so I might have to cancel. I just don't think I can hack it. I don't think I can hack it. So, if I go, though, it should be fun. But I don't have any shows lined up right now. I was thinking about buying some, but one thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, like, going to concerts by yourself, because I don't have a concert buddy. I used to just go with my ex-boyfriend all the time. And like sometimes I have friends to go with depending on the band, but I just kind of feel bad about asking people to spend that much money because it can get upwards of like 60, 65 plus a ticket. So I don't know. I just feel bad.
So what are you listening to right now?
I am listening.
Besides Sour.
Fuck you. Okay. I'm listening to other things. How do you know I was going to listen to
this? Is a good album. Good, really good album.
Fine. This won't be.
Let's talk about
podcast.
It. Let's talk about Sour. Sour's good.
No, it's fine. Okay. So I was really on a Eurovision kick, and the winner of Eurovision this year was Måneskin, and it means moonlight in Dutch or something, or Norwegian. I don't remember. And they're an Italian band, and they're like 4 of the most attractive people I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Like, Colby, you have to look them up because they're all beautiful. So I've been listening to them, and they mostly sing in Italian. I don't understand it, but it's still fun. It's like it's pretty hard rock.
I like hard rock.
Yeah, no, I think you'd actually really like them. Listen to the song. It's called Chosen.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm also listening to Sour, of course. Olivia Rodrigo is my girl. High School Musical, the musical, the series is out now. Season 2.
I haven't checked out season 2 yet. I'm going to at some point.
It's awkward because I just know the backstory now. And I can't watch them together. I'm like, ooh, were you still together at this point? When did it shift? So yeah, I'm kind of like, I don't know. What are you listening to now, Colby?
We are putting together our wedding playlist and just like throwing stuff on there. So a lot of what I've been listening to, and I think it's like legit a genre, is Black Cookout music.
There's playlists on Spotify actually that are Black Cookout music.
Oh yeah.
Playlists. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's like the majority of our playlist right now. It's really good. It's not public yet. So don't ask for it.
Oh, okay.
we might make it public after the wedding, but
you should. People like to listen to that.
It is certified bangers. But I'm looking at what I most recently added to my playlist because I apparently am the weirdest person in the world and only have one master playlist. I don't do it by mood or by vibe or by anything. I just have one repository, the one that doesn't go in your butt. I only just have one, and the most recent things I've added are The Way by Ariana Grande and Mac Miller, Casanova by Levert, Flagpole Sid by Harvey Danger, I Like It by DeBarge, and Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo. So
that's, I only knew some of those, so that's interesting. A lot of the stuff I don't know.
Yeah. When I say I try to listen to everything, I really do try to listen. I don't think there is a genre of music where I'm just like, nope, not going to listen to that.
Yeah. Take risks. Live your life.
Take risks. Make mistakes. Listen to country music. Country music is a bad rap. Listen to some country music.
Actually, I saw a tweet today that was like, why is women who sing about country music all about like killing their husband and, you know, starting new lives while men only sing about whiskey and beer? And they're like, the answer to the first question is the second half of this statement. I thought that was kind of funny.
I do think there's something to women in country just generally being more interesting than men in country.
There's a lot of like pop country too, like Kacey Musgraves, and I do like Maren Morris too.
Who I saw live. Weirdly, I've seen Maren Morris live in El Paso, Texas.
Yo, did you go to the rodeo?
No, oh. I went to the Sun Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I went to the Sun Bowl in El Paso, and she was a halftime show.
That's cool.
Those are the weirdest concerts that I've been to, are the halftime. I saw B.O.B. live.
I've also seen B.O.B. live. He came to our homecoming.
This is after he did his Flat Earth stuff, which is very interesting. I've seen Sugar Hill Gang live, which is really cool.
God, I wish I had a list of all the concerts I've been to. There are so many.
Anyway, music.
Music. It's good.
It is good. I like my relationship with music. Like, I joined a band fraternity. Like, this is what I do.
Nerd.
I have a music minor. I literally studied music. I took music theory classes, which should be renamed the musical stylings of 17th and 18th century white Europeans.
I feel like we could go on and on because I almost really want to get into, like, you know, how is music used in movies? How is music used in TV shows? I don't really want to get into that right now, but we could talk about it later, like just the two of us.
Yeah, so. For sure.
Well, we do sometimes, but we've talked about it in the Avatar podcast too, so which is now done. If you didn't know that, if you don't listen to that one, we are just us two again.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I think the very last thing, let's end with one recommendation of like something to listen to or something to do or something to seek out.
Oh, I like that.
Do you have anything? Because if not, I can go first.
How about you go first?
So something that's been interesting me for the past couple of years is popular songs reharmonized. Reharmonization is when you take the melody being the part of the song that you sing, the part that you remember, the one line that you remember from the song, and placing new supporting chords, new supporting sounds under the melody. I've been listening to like a lot of different reharms. I think my favorite one is Adam Neely's Thank You Next reharm, which is really cool. Also his reharmonization of Clarity. That actually might be my favorite. So yeah, seek out some reharmonized music. Pomplamoose, that's one to check out.
One thing that I'm going to bring up Eurovision again, but I'm going to recommend a different band. And this time it is the band from Ukraine. And they had almost like a folk throat singer kind of going on, but it was really cool. The performance is really cool. Colby, I'm gonna send you a link after because you should just listen to it. It's really awesome. It's just something different that I haven't really listened to. And you know, and to end on that, I just hope if you and when you decide to all go to concerts again, be safe. We don't know if it's, you know, that makes me a little nervous yet, so I haven't bought any tickets, but if you do, I hope you enjoy it all.
Yeah, support your local music scene.
We'll talk to you next time. Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at @marthaandcolby.
Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
Chase was a pop culture beast.